We thank You for Your love. Father, sometimes it's difficult to feel that. But Lord, right now, help us get beyond our feelings, as You want to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. And Lord, we have such finite thinking. I pray right now, Lord, You open our hearts and our minds to what You have for us in Your Word. We're so thankful for You, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, and everyone said, Amen. I'm going to read chapter 21, verse 1 through 3 right now. If you follow along with me, please. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son, who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. God did as spoken. Survey. And the survey said, let me ask you a quick question. Where do you get all your information? You know, all the news, all that. Because it's interesting, I discovered something about news, is that 57% comes from social media. People now use getting the news. 2/3 U.S. adults, 68% get news on a social media site. So this nationwide survey had come up with. And about 4 in 10 Americans, 43% get news on Facebook. Then YouTube's 21%. Then Twitter is 12%. Now, if that's where the information is coming from on our news, really, how accurate is the news? It's not accurate. That's the whole point here, right? It's, honestly, I don't trust any of it. I don't care what side, what position. It's difficult to get the truth, right? In fact, we talked last time about fear and how, you know, even watching the news can be scary. And Pastor Kim said, "You forgot to tell the church to stop watching the news." You know, it's okay to get information, but just understanding, really, what is truth? Isn't that what Jesus, before Pontius Pilate said, "What is the truth?" And it was standing right in front of him. So in your hand is the truth. You have the Word of God, right? As we're going to look at this morning. As Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," right? And it gives us the ability to get out of ourselves and out of this anxiety-prone life that we have, because things can be so crazy with our news. And really, as we see here, and I want you to understand here about God's Word, God said and God did. All right? So how important is this Word to you? As I'm speaking now, speaking the Word of God. As God has promised. He has promised you the most important information going to you right now. And it's coming to you. And as you read your Bible, and I pray you read your Bible, He has promised. And it's not the Word of man. And this is what's so interesting right now, is the world today has denigrated God's Word, the Bible, and just say that it's just written by a bunch of men. Have you ever written it? Excuse me. Have you ever read it, as I ask people to tell me that? No. It's powerful. It changed my life. Because all the information you're hearing on the news or in the world or wherever, it's all going to be skewed. I don't care what side it is. Left, right, middle, backward, whatever. It's all skewed. Because who's the ruler of this world? Satan is the ruler of this world, and it will be skewed. So listen and believe as we push all the other out, because that's what happens, is we have to get back into this, and we see this importance. Just this one verse, that one verse, He said and He did. It says in Ephesians, speaking of the armor of God, that the sword of the Spirit, is what? The Word of God. Did you hear that Spirit part? All right, so we're going to look at this Spirit not the flesh. It's not about the flesh. But what did the Lord say? What did the Lord say to Abraham and Sarah? What did He say? Over and over. How many chapters back? We go back to chapter 12. Over and over, He said and He proclaimed in Genesis chapter 12, 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. There's going to be a descendant. There's going to be, you're going to have a child from Abraham and Sarah. And we get blessed from it. Because it leads us to Jesus Christ. It's a little review here, just 18:10, it says this. He said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. He promised them over and over. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent, remember that? Which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old, it says. Well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. It is impossible. But see, this is what's so awesome about this. The Lord will do the impossible. He does the miracle. How old is Abraham? Abraham is 100 years young. Sarah is just a young, sprightly 90-year-old. Ready to have a baby. Ready to be up all night, as we all know. The Lord did a miracle. Yet when Sarah heard it, what happened? We saw that in chapter 18. When Sarah heard about this, God's going to do this, what did she do? She laughed. It's a joke, right, God? It's not a joke. See? And it took time. That's the hard part. It's not easy. It's not easy to hear. Not easy to hear the promises of God. It's not easy to pray and ask and seek and wait. It's not easy. We've been promised 1 John 1:4, God's Word. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Nothing is impossible for God. But again, the hardest part is that waiting part. But let Him do. Let Him do according to His will. We prayed when we got more or less removed from the old building 5 years ago. We prayed, God, give us our own church building. No way! I prayed and I wanted this beat up old church building. I wanted that so bad. I prayed. And we all prayed. We went through it. And then they said, no, you can't have this old beat up church building. I could have sued them. But God, we waited. And the Lord said, here, I got something better. The Lord says, no, I've got something better. When He says wait, there's a reason. He's got something better. Sarah wants a baby. She wants the baby now. She doesn't want to wait. By the way, so what happens when we get all upset about not getting our way? Sometimes that fear creeps in. I'm not going to have a baby. I'm never going to get pregnant. Obviously, that's what she's saying. I just heard this. I'm reminded of the acronym FEAR. Fear is false evidence appearing real. You heard that before? I forgot about it. And someone mentioned that to me. Oh, yeah. False evidence appearing real. That's fear. But I got a new one for you. It's called flesh. Flesh is faithless expectation, stupid habit. That's us in the flesh. Because we don't want to wait. And it takes that waiting, not in the flesh. See, Sarah tried to figure it out. She did the opposite thing of Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. What did she do? She started leaning. Trying to figure this out. How am I going to get this thing to work? God, you're... Okay, maybe I'll help you, Lord. I'm going to try to figure this out. Came up with her own plan in the flesh. Chapter 16, we saw verse 2, it said, the Lord, she says this in her own words, the Lord restrained me from having a child. Okay. So what are you going to do about it? There's a reason. God had a perfect plan and has a perfect plan. God does, and part of His perfect plan, listen to this, He doesn't make it easy. Oh man, I don't want to hear that. I want it easy. God doesn't make it easy. Why? Because He wants to prove and show that He can do the impossible. That He can do a miraculous work. Whatever He has to do for you, with you, and through you, to make you the man and woman of God that He wants you to be. In His power, and listen to me, in His Spirit. It's about His Holy Spirit. See, Sarah heard. She saw the door was closed. He's restraining. So what does she do? She starts pushing the door. It's the natural way, the fleshly way. She comes up with her own perfect, in her mind, plan. Hey, Abraham, here's my handmaid. Get her pregnant. I'll have her baby. What does the Lord say? No, I had it all worked out for you, Sarah. Or just wait. But no, pushing the door can create terrible consequences. Push that door. That the Lord, you know, sometimes we know that door's closed. We just know. It the more we try, you know what? I want that. So we push and we push, and it leads to consequences. But it's shut. Listen, the door's shut for a reason. When the Lord shut that door for that other church, it was for a perfect reason. And God, and you know what I'm talking about in your own life. You've seen things happen that aren't, but God, I want this now. I'm feeling it. Maybe you've tried to get a house or something and it didn't go through. And you're so disappointed. But God had a reason. The door is shut for a reason. Don't try to push it. I did that about 30 years ago when I had going through a very difficult time in my life, and I decided I wanted to have this particular house, and the thing was that this real estate guy says, I'm going to get you that house, and really, I shouldn't have got the house. The door was shut. But the guy said, oh, I've got some creative financing for you to get in. Right? This is the way the doors were going to be pushed open many times back in the day. It got me in trouble. Just don't go there. Right? But Sarah does it anyway. See, here's the important thing for us to and me to remember and you to remember. God does not need our ideas. Do you know what I'm saying? He's got all the information. He doesn't need our help in that way. But Lord, here's the way you can do this. He doesn't need that. He needs our what? Trust and our obedience. No, Sarah says, go ahead and have sex with my handmaid. That'll be it. But see, what happens is this. Ishmael, we saw, was born. Ishmael is born out of the flesh, not of the Spirit. Anything of the flesh is part of self. And Jesus is very clear about ourself. We don't need to learn to love ourself anymore. We've already loved ourselves so much that we're going to do whatever it takes to help ourselves. And that's clearly the flesh. In fact, they're Christians. If you're a Christian, there's a tendency to become what's called you've ever heard the term, carnal Christian? Carnal is from the word flesh. Carne. Meat. The meaty Christians. We can all fall into that. We can flip-flop into being a carnal Christian. This is what Sarah is like. Putting up with her own plan. And then what happens? She pushed the door open and misses the perfect peace that God has for her in her life. Because there's going to be consequences. From Ishmael is going to be the Arab nations that are right now trying to destroy the nation of Israel. Thousands of years later. But see, then again, look back at verse 3 again. It says, in Abraham, but God did it. It's that time, verse 2, and Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Isaac means laughter. It's no longer a joke, Sarah. It's now from a joke to joy. Sarah is blown away. Wow. God is so good. He still did it. Lord, you're so awesome. He's fulfilling His Word. And in verse 4 to 6, we see there it says, then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. He was obedient, and he did what God, according to the covenant that God gave to Abraham, the father of the Jews, that all Jews will be circumcised as a covenant between them, how special children they are to him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and now it's a joy, and all who hear will laugh with me. The joy of the Lord, the fulfilling of His Word. If you've ever had God fulfill His way in your life, if you've ever experienced Him answering a prayer, doing a miracle, you know what I'm talking about. Because God wants to do that in your life all the time, even today. Even just to get through this day today. Lord, I trust You. Get me through this day today. I don't want to worry about tomorrow. And that's a miracle. Did you know that? Because anything could happen to any of us out there right now. Are you with me? Someone told me the other day that they were almost in an accident. And they were all upset. You know that person, what they did. And they cut me off. But above. And I said, isn't it amazing God took care of you and protected you? Oh, yeah. Wow. I used to, years back, if you remember, some of you may remember, I had a Harley. Used to drive to church. And it was scary. And I was in so many close calls. And I know God protected me. But I got smart. I'm like, okay, I can't do this anymore. But literally, no, I would go through an intersection, someone would run a red light right behind me. And I knew, God, You're watching out for me. I had somebody pull off and around a corner, a blind curve, and went in my lane, and I had to skid, and I just thank God. Again, it could happen. So we just thank the Lord. Thank You for getting me through this day, Lord. Thank You for my breath. The joy of fulfilling His Word. Look at verse 7 then. And so also she also said, Sarah, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah, she says, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Who would imagine? For I have borne him a son in his old age. She's 90, he's 100. Who would have thought? Nobody. But that's what I love about God. Nobody can figure it out. This whole thing about understanding God, don't try it. Take your mind and get out of that box. I have to do that all the time because it's so easy for me to get caught up into what I think the way things should go, how I feel it should be, what's going to make me feel good, instead of going, you know what, Lord? I'm getting out of this. I'm going to let You just do Your thing. It's amazing. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 4, verse 17 for a moment, please. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. You know what's interesting is we are in the Old Testament, and I've been told years back, somebody said, oh, our church doesn't go into the Old Testament because I'm a New Testament Christian. Wait, well, I'll tell you one thing right now. This is what the New Testament does. It reveals what the Old Testament is all about. What did I say? Thank you. Romans 4, 17. Through 22, I'm going to read. Romans 4, 17. As it is written, this is Paul, of course, in Romans. I have made you a father, speaking about Abraham, of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed. Abraham believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which did not exist as though they did. That is God. He is a miracle worker. He has created the heavens and the earth. Who, contrary to hope, in hope, believed. There was no hope. so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be, as we said before. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. So how's your faith? Contrary to hope, what do you have going on in your life right now? It's just saying, God, I don't know. It seems hopeless. Contrary to hope, believe. He has a plan. He has things in your life. What is going on? What is His will? First thing you want to ask, God, what is your will for me in this? And He will reveal it. He'll show it through circumstances, and then you just trust Him. It's so easy. See, this is the first miracle of birth. Sarah, having a baby, 90 years old. Abraham's 100. This is the first miracle spoken in the Bible of a baby being born miraculously. Okay? And do you know there are many, many, many others in the Bible about births? We can go on with, you know, all kinds. Rachel and get into Hannah. And of course, who do we lead up to in the New Testament? Where do we go? We go to the Gospels. What do we have? We have Mary. Mary was never with a man. As she said, "What? How can this happen? How can this be?" And what was the answer? The answer will be, the Spirit will come upon you. Did you hear that? Leading us, giving us the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Our Savior, the lover of your soul that will do anything and die for you. It must be of the Spirit. Every time I stopped trusting the Lord in the Spirit and started going in the flesh, it got me in trouble. Every time. Honestly, I'll be honest, and someone came up last Sunday and said, "You know, I'm so thankful that you come up and you're pretty transparent." Yes. We're all together in this, all right? We're all in the same boat. When I was younger, and up through the years, my mouth got me in a lot of trouble because my mouth was my weapon in the flesh. And one of the, you know, I said a lot of stupid things, did a lot of stupid things, and one of those things I did was coming back from, when I was in college, I was in Japan, and I was in a mission trip, coming back and had to come through Honolulu, and you go through customs, and then you go through the agricultural inspection, and the guy said, and I hadn't slept, all right, my flesh was weak, I was tired and cranky, and the guy asked me, he says, "Do you have any citrus in your backpack?" I said, "Oh man, I was so snarky. I have an orange tree in here." That's what I told him. Yeah, that was real smart. So yes, I got into some trouble. But that's just, you know, it's one of those things where you've got to watch what happens. That's what the flesh does. But see, this time, here, God is pouring out His blessing, as we see in verse 8. Look back, 21, verse 8. "So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned." He's probably 2 or 3 years old now, and he's just celebrating. Wow, I've got this boy, and this is what they did when a child was weaned from their mother. It's like graduation. It's this great thing. But then, verse 9, the flesh comes out. So the child grew, verse 9, "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing." So here's this boy, probably right now 13 or 14 years old, and there's no joy for Sarah now, is there? Because here's this young adolescent that's literally scoffing. He's laughing. He's He's teasing, he's harassing her little boy, making fun of this toddler. This is what happens. It's creating havoc in her life. It's a consequence of the flesh. It's actually this flesh is laughing in her face. Flesh. Okay, I want you to let's look at that flesh. Look, I want to again turn back to New Testament. We're going to look at Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Verse 22. Galatians 4:22. As again, the New Testament reveals. For it is written that Abraham had two sons. The one born by a bondwoman, that's of course Hagar, the maidservant. The other by a free woman, speaking of Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the what? The flesh. And he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic. So we look at this. This is given to us for a purpose. For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. It speaks of the law. The flesh demands to be dealt with by the law. There is no grace with the flesh. It causes problems. It causes chaos. But see, I want you to go down to verse 28 now. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. You are children. If you're born again in Christ, you're children of His promise of Christ. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. In fact, it is now 2,000 years after this was written. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Verse 30, cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of bondwoman, but of free. The flesh always causing trouble. And it's dealt with in the law. But see, we're free, listen to me, in the Spirit. Are you in the Spirit? We're free in the Spirit. You're born again in the Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit. Now back to 21. Therefore, verse 10, she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac, as we just saw. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. God has a perfect way which led to a perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a plan of the Spirit. What do we have to do? What is it telling us today? What is God telling us in His Word today? Get rid of the flesh. It causes confusion. It causes turmoil. Galatians 5:16 says, say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the lust of the flesh for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. When you start thinking, why can't I do what I want to do? Why can't I be the Christian I need to be? Because you're trying in the flesh. It's not about the flesh. Got Sarah in trouble. But this is what's so exciting in Romans 8:1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So are you walking according to the Spirit? How can you tell? How do you know? You know because of this. When there's supernatural peace that passes all understanding, you know you're in the Spirit. Regardless of the situation, you know it. It's that's what Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is about. Don't be anxious. In everything, pray. And the peace of God that guards your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus causes this peace that's beyond any comprehension. It's of the Spirit. So stop feeding the flesh. We do that. We do that. I do that when I start getting all caught up in the stupid news. I get all caught up in things that I shouldn't be caught up in, instead of being filled with the Holy Spirit and enjoying that peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness. Stop feeding the flesh. Let it go, as Sarah had to do. Do you see that with Hagar? Let it go. Because listen to the works of the flesh. Listen to Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, oh no, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, I told you over and over, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because if someone is practicing is an habitual thing, it's just, there's never any change. Has that person really become born again of the Spirit? That's why it's so important that you understand what that's about. How am I born again in the Spirit? You have to let go and go, okay, Lord, I surrender. I give this up to You. Because this is, it will drag us down. In fact, it says in Ephesians, we're to put off the old man. We have to actually do that. How do you do that? Put off. But if you put off, you just, okay, I'm done with this. He's a dead. When you're baptized, by the way, if anyone's being baptized, of course, for next Sunday we'll be meeting here at 1 o'clock at the church and go to the beach. As you get baptized, you're identifying with this death. Jesus says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Me. As we're baptized, we are identifying with His death, His burial, and resurrection. You have been crucified with Him. Okay? So we don't have to live like that anymore. We can now live in the Spirit. Even though it looks like the whole world's caving in. Stop focusing on that. The flesh gets caught up in that. Like Sarah, there can be that anger and bitterness, even in ourselves, but contentions. Somebody came into my office this week and was pretty much in my face. And I had an opportunity to blow them away if I wanted to. You know what I'm talking about? In the flesh. And I prayed. And I was praying my heart out inside as I'm listening. And I said, Lord, keep filling me with Your Holy Spirit. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. And God did it. It wasn't me. Because my flesh would have just eviscerated that person. But doesn't help. We're to be loving. So what happens the next morning, as I prayed, and I prayed, the next morning I had the verse in my devotion. It's Matthew 5:28, I think. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless those who curse you. Right? But I can't do that, Lord. Because I've got all this envy, contention, and outbursts. Right? No. You can change. The Holy Spirit wants to change you today. Right now. He can do it. But it's a process. Sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. God has taken me through a process. It hasn't been easy. But it's been so good. It's about the Spirit. Put off. Ephesians 4:20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct that old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So you hear the word this morning? The truth of God? Let the Holy Spirit work in you. That's what it's doing. In fact, Peter, in Acts 10, it says, when Peter was speaking, got through speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. Are you receiving it or are you fighting it? That's a door that's open right now. Let the Holy Spirit fall upon you. I'm just going to close with this. Because what happens next? As God said to Abraham in verse 12, do not let this be displeasing in your sight. You've got to let it go. Because Sarah's going to said, get rid of the flesh. Get rid of that. What does the Lord say? Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. It's going to be from your son Isaac, not from Ishmael. Verse 13, yet, I love that word yet, because I get really sad about Ishmael. He's an innocent. He's innocent in the sense of what happened to him. But God still will bless him. Listen, yet, I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed. He's going to bless him. He's going to have an incredible, a lot of Arab nations are coming from Ishmael, from his side of Abraham. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and skin of water and putting it on her shoulder. To Hagar, Ishmael's mother. He gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. That's way down in southern Israel. It's wilderness, literally it's desert. And the water in the skin was used up and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Water's done. They're dehydrating. They're done. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. Now listen to the Lord. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand. For I will make him a great nation. There God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water, and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. That's the end of what we hear of Ishmael. But see, this concern is, in the flesh I go, but that's sad what she did. Getting rid of that boy. But see what God is doing? See this? What was intended for maybe what we think is not right, God is going to bless it. Let it go. Whatever it is, let Him take care of it. He could do a much better job. He did a much better job of taking care of Hagar and Ishmael than Abraham and Sarah ever could. Do you see that? Let it go of that other aspect. Trying to figure it out. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, trusting Him, and He will direct your path. I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to ask you to please bow your heads and just, if you're ready to let go of some things. And again, it's difficult. It's hard about the trusting aspect. And to really believe that God can do it because He can. What He says He will do. All He wants us to do is trust Him in obedience. Father, we come before You now, Lord, and we do. We're still in our skin, Lord. We still have these fleshly bodies. And our minds still get in the flesh. And Father, there's those right now that are so done with the flesh, ready to get out, Lord, and to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. And I pray right now, Father, that Your Holy Spirit would just pour down upon us here now. You just ask us to receive in faith. All those fears, Lord, I pray that You'd wash away. As You wash away the washing of the Word, Lord, it sanctifies, it's purifying right now. If anybody here right now just says, yes, I'm ready to receive that, just slip up your hand. Let me see him. Yes. Yes. So done with the flesh. Father, I just pray for those hearts. It takes getting to that point of brokenness. Say, yeah, I give up. I'm ready to receive Your power, Lord. I can't do this anymore. And I pray for those that You would just, as You're pouring Your Holy Spirit upon them and others here, just filling them to overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the ability to endure suffering, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control. I pray for them right now. I pray for this church. Help us to be the most loving church we can be. Thank You, Lord. We love You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing one more song.